Amen. If you've been blessed by the music by Brian and by Carol, will you let them know how much you appreciate them? All right, when I walked up, I got this on the podium. That must be a hint. I'll take the hint. Last year I announced Indiana Springs, but I told you the wrong dates on purpose, you remember? So they start, I'll tell you the right ones. They start on July 10th and go through the 20th at Indian Springs. How many of you have been over that way to our sister camp? And you know how sisters are. No, we love Indian Springs. All right, an announcement that I just learned. We have a baptism this evening at Lake Mary. I believe it's Kelsey. I think it's Kelsey Bridges is going to be baptized out at Lake Mary. 6:15, that is just right next door. Across on the other side of the field, back behind this way. And so she would love it if you would join us out there. And let's celebrate baptism. That's what we're here for, right? My youngest son was baptized in Lake Mary. So that's cool. Make sure you head out that way. Let's start with today. Today we're going to finish with Missionary Day. You'll hear from the Strongs and at this 11 o'clock, and then you'll hear from both of them at the 7 o'clock. In front of you is a WGM envelope. It looks a little different than the green Taylor County Camp envelope. On it has everything that you need to become a partner with either the Strongs or with the Donahues. You put their name there and then fill out how much you would like to help them out with, partner with them. Make checks payable to Winnie Carter. No, I'm sorry. That'll be all right with you too, right? No, it says on the envelope, make checks payable to World Gospel Mission, and then give it to Winnie Carter. Winnie Carter has taken up our missionary offering. You can also put it in the missionary plate, and we'll make sure that Winnie gets a hold of it that way too. Let's stay on today. Tonight, after the evening service, is the WGM reception, where they are celebrating their 115th anniversary. So you'll want to, after the service, after we hear from both of our missionaries, you'll want to head up to the cafeteria. There will be cake and punch and a time of celebration to celebrate WGM's 115th anniversary of the legacy of that. And they just got back from Impact, which was very influential from what I hear, very impactful, if you will. And now let's go tomorrow. Tomorrow is Kids Day, and so at the evening service, you'll get a special treat where you get to hear from the kids. They'll share a couple songs and a couple memory verses. They've been practicing all week for y'all, and you know that is a special treat. That's one of the services where all the cell phone cameras come out and you record the little ones here. So that's tomorrow, and then we'll have nachos after the evening service. Does that sound good? I love the nachos here. All right. Yes.
Going on in America right now, as well as anybody I have met. He lives in that jungle.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Carter. I'm really looking forward to hearing him speak. Avery, you're good. That was quick. Got that up there really quick. Let's let Avery know how much we appreciate him back there working. He's working sound and the computer, and he's killing it. Yes.
But I was told that everybody who stays on campus, even if you stay here for 50 years, has to register. So this is your grace announcement. I was told to start calling specific names. So if you haven't registered or haven't paid, also there are a few that still haven't paid. There is a QR code if you'd like to sign up to register online, which makes it very simple. But if you want paper, we still have paper in the office.
Thank you. And there are still some that need to pay their assessments on their rooms as well. If you would like to know what after this means, you can ask Brian or anyone in her family, and I'm sure they can tell you what after this means. It means you don't want to mess with her. So let's take care of it and let's get that in. All right, let's all stand, and I'm going to open with prayer, and we're going to worship together. Father God, here we are once again in one accord with one heart to lift high your name. Father, today we focus on the missionaries, those that have gone the extra mile to say yes to your special calling to further your kingdom across this world, to peoples who have never heard your good news. And so, Father, today as we hear from them, as we hear their stories and what you're doing in their lives and on their field, Father, I pray that we are a family that roots for them, that supports them, that partners with them, that prays for them. And that as we take in the Strongs and the Donahues as part of the Taylor County Camp family, that we will always be there to support them. May they never feel alone. May this place be a launching place for your will and your kingdom in their lives and the ministry that you have for them. Give them a double portion of your Holy Spirit to minister to those that they come in contact with. Father, I pray that your Spirit goes ahead of them to each of these countries that you've called them to, each of these ministries that you've called them to, even in Marion, Indiana. And Father God, I've been to Marion, Indiana. I was born in Marion, Indiana. And Marion needs Jesus just as much as anyone else, anywhere else. So Lord, I just pray that as they do their presentations and as they testify to what you are doing, that we will listen, that we will support, and that we'll love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
It's number 73 and then number 27, but I think the lyrics will be right up there in front of you,
just like they have been all week.
I love these old hymns. It's okay to sing them right here at camp meeting. That'd be all right. I love these hymns. It's the truth in these words.
He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the trust.
All right, before their official presentation, Doughty has asked to share something special. So come on up, Doughty. Let's welcome Doughty Strong. Better than that. There we go.
I asked Mr. Wayne about doing this, or I suggested maybe it would fit in somewhere, and he did give me a time limit, but I'm not using Mr. Doug's watch. I'd like to talk about a group of people. Maybe some of you don't know anything about this group of people. Some of you know a lot about this group of people. And some of you are part of this group of people. I'd like to talk about MKs. You all know what an MK is? Missionary kid. I once heard that the only thing, the only thing worse than a pastor's kid is a missionary's kid. Now that wasn't in reference to me, I'm sure, but I would like to encourage you to continue to minister to the missionaries that come here, but minister to the kids too. And you might say, I mean, you might, for David Donahue, when he comes back here in 3 years, 5 years, whatever, you might say, I'm glad you're back. And your name is David, right? And he may respond in Guarani, no, my name is David, because that's maybe what they're going to call him down there. When he comes back, when whoever is here, you might say, I'm so glad that you're back here. Somebody said that to two of Seth and Veronica Porter's kids, the boys, and I don't know how they responded, but so glad you're back here. And they talked to either their mom or dad later and said, how are we supposed to respond? Because we're not glad we're back here. We'd rather be in Papua New Guinea. We don't even have to wear shoes there. There is some differences in where you go. My folks followed the verse, raise up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. I wasn't always in agreement with some of the ways that they raised me. They also saw a verse or read a verse, somehow they knew about this verse, spare the rod and spoil the child. And they took that seriously. And if you were to talk to my mom or dad, they're both in heaven now, they would probably say that I was the one that caused the most trouble. And also when we were gone, mom missed me because I caused the most trouble, but I also would eat anything that she cooked, and it was all great stuff. Some missionary kids go to Paraguay, to Africa. Some missionary kids go to Arizona with their folks. I would like to encourage you to minister to those kids when they're here. And that'll look differently, whether it's David Donahue in 4 years or whether it's a teenager. I'd also like to mention some missionary kids that are here on the campus. John Sturry, Donahue's, my wife and I. Is there anybody else here that's a missionary kid? And you want to admit it? Okay, there's a lady back there. When you go to another place, it's not your home, maybe right at first, you don't feel comfortable there. Maybe by the time 4 years is up, you don't feel comfortable back here. I'd like to concentrate a little bit on two MKs that are here at camp, and that's Andres Donahue and David Donahue. And they're headed for Paraguay, right? But there's more to it than that. Andres is headed home. And his wife is headed to Paraguay, but she's leaving home. There is a difference. There was a big difference with my wife and I when we went to Bolivia, and I thought this is great. And she was being torn up by the roots. She was in favor of it. Her folks were in favor of it. But it was a little bit stressful. Donahue's, I want to encourage you to pray for Donahue's. In the next, I think it's 5 weeks, they're going to have some stress. And they're going to think, why am I so stressed out? I want to do this. But it's selling a vehicle. It's deciding which treasures to take to Paraguay. It's deciding which treasures not to take. It's deciding, how do I get 100 pounds of stuff in a 50-pound suitcase? And then part of it is they're going to learn, I believe it's Guarani, of the two of them and their son. Who would you guess is going to have the least stress in learning a language? I'll pretty much guarantee it's going to be David, because he's going to learn it as he plays with other kids. Is that stress for Andres and his wife survivable? Very much. They've already both learned a second language than, you know, after English. Is there going to be some stress when they get to Paraguay? I imagine. They're probably going to figure out, why in the world didn't we bring that thing? What my dad would tell people is, think about what you forgot to bring. Maybe even write it down on a paper, and we'll be glad to help you figure out how to live without it. And if they were going to buy something at Walmart and they didn't, I'm pretty sure, at least in the part of the Paraguay where they live, there aren't any Walmarts. I would like to encourage you guys to pray for them as they adjust to Paraguay. I think we heard earlier that they're very much in favor of what they're doing. There's going to be some stress. There's going to be some stress adjusting to beliefs that the Paraguayans have, and they're thinking, why in the world do they believe that? I think probably 99% of missionaries that go somewhere will find some beliefs that they don't believe. Maybe they can't even figure out why these people believe that. And I'm sure that there will be some people, when they leave Paraguay, who have come to know the Lord. So I'd like to encourage you to minister to the MKs that come through here. Thank you.
All right, and at the 9:30, they did their presentation, and their sign-up sheet for their newsletter and to keep in contact with them is over here on the table. Make sure that you stop by over there and put your name on that piece of paper. Let's get the ushers to come forward, take up this morning's offering. Uh-oh. Let's get four people to come forward. Monty, would you mind praying for the offering?
leadeth me. O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught, whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me by His own. He leadeth me, His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by water still or troubled sea, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me, His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. And when my task on earth is all done, when by His grace the victory's won, even death's cold wave I will not flee. For my God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me, His faithful.
Practice for the Virgin of the Rosemary Festival is just wearing me out.
Well, Enrique, we came in second last year, and I want to win it this year. So let's take a break. I poured you your favorite drink, lima bean punch, and we'll just sit here for just a minute, okay?
Maria, did you ever talk to those gringo neighbors down the street?
Well, I greeted the senora once or twice. Did you?
Yeah, I talked to the senora a couple of times. Their names are David and Catalina.
Oh, I was always curious about them. What'd you find out about them, Enrique?
Well, David told me that they lived in Santa Cruz, Bolivia before they moved here to Peru.
Oh, you don't say.
Yep, and he told me that when they were in Bolivia, he fell through a corrugated roof, onto the cement 8 feet below him.
Oh, ouch. I wonder if that happened because he offended one of the saints. Or maybe he didn't have those ceramic bowls up on top of the roof, you know, those ones with rings in their nose, to wish him good luck, and poop, he fell.
You don't say.
For sure.
Yep, and he told me.
No, for sure. He'd have those.
Words for sure. For sure, if he had been carrying some of these seeds in his pocket, he wouldn't have fallen.
Yeah, that's exactly right. What else have you learned about those foreigners?
Don't call them foreigners, Maria. That makes them sound weird.
Okay.
They're really good people.
And then you're next.
Oh, and David asked me if I could recommend a good restaurant here that specializes in beef. They really enjoyed the steaks and the fried yuca that they always got in Bolivia.
Oh, what'd you tell him?
Well, I asked him why he would want to eat beef when you can get the best guinea pig meal in the world here.
And what'd he say to that?
He about choked on the glass of chicha morada that he was drinking. I told him we'd have them over sometime for the best guinea pig in town, and that's because my sweet Maria does that.
Oh, Enrique, you're making me blush.
Remember when we thought they must have at least 15 or 16 kids because we saw all these kids coming and going from their house?
Yep. I remember that. I figured she was just really fertile and had been blessed by Mama Kia, the moon goddess of relationships.
Well, they do only have two, a boy and a girl. They've got their own families. When we saw bunches of kids coming and going,
it
was just one of those teams of volunteers that they had down here from North America who came to help people in the community and give testimonies.
Testimonies? What does that mean?
Oh, I'm really not sure. I was going to ask, but I didn't get around to it. He told me that they were evangelicals, and maybe evangelicals give testimonies. I don't know.
Oh, they're Mormons then.
No, Maria. Their neighbors down from them are Mormons. David said they were evangelicals.
Oh.
You know, Christians.
Oh, that kind. Well, that explains why we never see them at Mass. And they seem like nice people anyway, even if they don't believe like we believe.
You know, Maria, there's times when I have no idea what I believe.
What? What are you saying? Why, how could you not know what we believe? Why, with a festival every month of the year that celebrates some saint or an important part of our religion, how could you not know what you believe? You know we celebrate the Vela Cui Cross every May or June, and showing our gratitude to the pre-Hispanic gods for all the blessings they give us. I think the crosses around town that they decorate so beautifully, I just love going around and seeing all those crosses during that festival. And Enrique, you know we worship Mother Earth. Yes, the fertility goddess that helps us have bountiful crops. You know, when we sacrifice llamas or we give her coca leaves and we hold festivals in her honor, it's so we'll be blessed with good luck and all the crops and riches that we want. You know you believe that, Enrique.
Well.
Scratch your head. Don't you go doubting what our ancestors have said for years.
I wish David and Catalina were here. I'd go pay them a visit and ask them some more questions.
What do you mean you wish they were here? Where did they go?
Well, several months ago, he told me that they were going back to North America.
Enrique, you don't think.
I don't think what?
Do you think that they would have been out on their last New Year's Eve here, you know, and with all the others who wanted to travel sometime in the new year? So they packed a suitcase, they marched around the neighborhood a few times so that they'd be insured just a beautiful trip to wherever they were going? At the very least, Enrique, they would have adorned their homes with yellow flowers. They probably would have thrown yellow confetti outside their door and all over the place, and they would have been wearing yellow garland on New Year's Eve. You know how lucky the color yellow makes us feel.
Well, I really doubt they do all those things to bring them luck like we do.
Why not?
Sure wish they'd come back, at least for a visit. I've got lots of questions going around in my head that I'd love to ask them.
Well, Enrique, the minute you hear they're back, you invite them over, and I'll just find the biggest, fattest guinea pig and fix it with all the trimmings for them. Lord knows they keep reproducing faster than we can eat them, but don't you dare even think of becoming an evangelical. I would hate to think of the bad luck that would come our way if we upset Mother Earth by not worshiping her. Now you just leave well enough alone. Enrique, I think we've rested enough. You get yourself one more sip of lima bean punch, and let's get back to practicing, because remember, I won't settle for anything less than first place this year, okay?
Gave somebody some yellow garland, so whoever that is, you're going to be seriously blessed with luck this year. I gave somebody else a rattly thing, and that's sheep toenails. We've actually seen people use that in like musical things and whatever.
In dances.
Yeah.
Well. When we're not role-playing as Enrique and Maria, we are David and Kathleen Strong. And yes, in case you're wondering, lima bean punch is a drink served in Cusco, Peru. And he can't stand it, but anyway. We served in Bolivia and Peru, and now we're based in Marion, Indiana. And we'll share a little bit more of that story this evening and during our presentation. We do have two grown children. Our daughter Angela and her husband and our three grandsons live in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and they operate a mobile petting zoo, which is quite interesting. Our son Nick and his wife live about 45 miles south of Notre Dame, if you know where that's in northern Indiana, and that's where they live. Our family will truly become international. When they bring their adopted son home from Taiwan, probably the first week of September. We think that June Hua David Strong will be the cutest 6-year-old grandson we've ever had. While Bolivia and Peru are predominantly Catholic, we saw firsthand in Cusco just how steeped in paganism and idolatry the people can be. Cusco is called Cosco in Quechua, and it means belly button, because Cusco was the center of the Inca Empire. So it was right in the middle. It was the big hub when the Incas were around. Even though the Spaniards introduced the people to Catholicism and really tried to shove everything else aside and make them be Catholics, many of their ancient beliefs are still truth in their minds. They go to Mass on Sundays, But throughout the week, they make sure that they aren't angering the gods, the saints, or any spirits. Their religion and their culture are so entwined, and it is very hard for them to separate the two. I mean, they've just grown up with this combination. In fact, Catholicism and their ancient beliefs have become something else. That it's just a natural part of who they are.
When we lived in Bolivia, they weren't the people in Bolivia don't have a lot of weird beliefs religiously. They won't want to drink anything with ice in it because they know they're going to have a cold or something tomorrow. And that's, I mean, if you're in the part of Bolivia that we lived in, if you're breathing, you're sweating. And we wanted to, you know, have ice in everything that we had. After we got to Peru, we didn't have a vehicle at that time when we first got there. Flagged down a taxi. And anyway, we got to talking and got to know Roger. And anytime we needed a taxi, we'd call him. And he'd come and we'd have great talks. And anyway, we were at their house one night, Roger and Jeanette's house, two Peruvians, and it was for supper. I don't think it was anything official, but it was just a good meal and whatever. And I think the counter was over here. We got our food, put it on our plates, and walked over here to the table, and I dropped my plate. And they hurried, got me another plate, got me more food, cleaned up the mess, and I even tried to help them, and they went, no, no, no. And in the conversation, we overheard one of those people that were there, say, I'll bet he dropped his plate because he didn't go over in the corner and pour out a little bit of the drink as a offering to Mother Earth. And, I mean, that was new to us. We also had we helped with a church. There was a guy in that church named Alberto. He was a very strong Christian. He was the music leader of the church. He and his wife were very strong. They brought their kids. And once we were at a meal or whatever, and Alberto, who is, I believe, a very strong Christian, went over in the corner and dumped a little bit of his drink out for Mother Earth. I really believe that came from, that's what he'd done all his life. Give an offering to Mother Earth. And, I mean, if I had, the home I grew up in, if I had dumped something in the corner, my mom would have said, David, there's the mop, get it, clean it up. But anyway, Gilberto's mom and dad started coming to the church. They accepted Christ. And after that, we had a conversation with Gilberto, and he was saying, what do I do with all these idols that my mom has? And, I mean, should I just pack them up and take them out and burn them, or what? And I don't know that I said, this is what you should do. I was just a listening ear. And I don't know if it was like 2 weeks later. Gilberto said that he went home, went to his mom and dad's house, and she handed him a box and said, here's all my idols. Don't just throw them away. Go out and burn them. And I think that was a whole lot better than telling his mom, we need to get rid of this stuff, and we need to get rid of it now. And so things that we didn't really know a lot of those things, but we learned them, as all missionaries do.
Building friendships and trust with the people is key to sharing the good news of Jesus with them. They will respectfully listen, but it takes a long time to convert someone to being a Christ follower. Once a person decides to follow Christ, it takes a good 7 to 8 years of intentional discipleship with those people so that they're grounded in their faith, so that those old ancestral beliefs begin to be rooted up and out of their minds and their habits. WGM had missionaries in Cusco for about 14 years. Relationships were nurtured, friendships made, and seeds of truth were planted. But you know what? God was there before we got there, and he's still there today. His work continues. However slow it might be, people are hearing the gospel of Jesus. There are many missionaries in Cusco, and it's a long, hard work. It takes lots of patience. You can get very discouraged because of the very things we've talked to you about. Will you pray for the Peruvians who are so caught up in worshiping their idols and their saints, the sun, the moon, and they don't even know that they're in bondage? But they are. They are. We have appreciated being part of the 7:30 prayer meetings in the morning. And Ms. Anita has encouraged us to pray God's promises over our requests, whether they're ours or someone else's. And I so appreciate that. I think John 8:32 would be a great one to pray on behalf of those who need Jesus in Peru, that they will know the truth and the truth will set them free. And for those who already know him, actually, this works for Peru or for wherever. It works in our lives too, right? For those that already know him, let's claim Ephesians 3:17, that Christ will make his home in their hearts as they trust him, that their roots will grow down into God's love and keep them strong. So we just want to say thank you in advance for your prayers on behalf of the precious people in Peru that still need to know the saving love of Jesus Christ. Thank you.
They left us with a cliffhanger. We get to find out the rest of the story, the Paul Harvey, the rest of the story tonight, and how God is using them today and tomorrow. I know that you two have ministered to me at the Abbott Center, and I know I don't speak alone. So if you'd like to partner with them, fill out the envelope and partner with them and what God is doing in their life. Thank you for everyone who signed the newsletter for them, and I'm sure they'll keep you updated. Now that I waited till you sat down until this point, but can you come back up to the altar? And we would like to have a time to pray for you in support of you, and just that God would continue to have his hand on you and on your ministry and his favor. Anyone else that would like to come up and gather around, put hands on them and pray over them? I've asked John Sturry, he is the regional director for the Africa region for WGM. I've asked him if he would pray over the strong. So please join us in prayer. And what about the dance moves? When we were planning today, Dowdy said, well, I'm only going to dance for about 20 seconds, but that's 19 seconds too long. And the acting skills, it's amazing. I didn't know who you, and you took off the hat, and I was like, oh, that's Kathleen. All right, let's pray for lunch, and we can head up on that up that way. What time is it? Are they going to be ready? Oh, it's about noon. Okay, they'll be getting ready here soon, so we'll see if they're ready. Let's pray for lunch. The kids are probably going through right now. Father God, I thank you for the hands that prepared our meal, and I pray that you bless the meal to our bodies and our bodies to your service. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.